broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use broadcast for November the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2016. It's hour two at two, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America, also the checks and balances put in place, absolutely brilliant, and the solutions to the problems we face. We don't want a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, no doubt needed. Kirk Crosby with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, the good sheriff, Sheriff Richard Max, with us. Welcome back, sir.
I am indeed, and thanks for having me. It's a great week.
All right, now, a couple of things I want to bring up here. First of all, I've been thinking off the air about if, everybody's talking about Donald's 100 days. First 100 days in office, what he's going to do for the first 4 years. If he doesn't get it together the first 4 years and make some tremendous change, he'll only get four, not 8 years. What is he going to do on his first day? And everybody's talking, everybody's in the mix. And I thought to myself, what's the most important thing Donald could get done? I mean, if there's one single item that he could do that would, you know, benefit the individual, benefit the country, cement his legacy as one of the greatest American presidents ever in the history of the world, what could Donald do that could restore America, that could bring back freedom and give us hope, bring people together? The list goes on and on and on and on. Sheriff, I'm going to tell you what I said last hour, but I want to know, what would you say the item would be?
I would say get all the federal government review every bureaucracy, get the size and scope of the federal government within constitutional parameters, and I'm talking about the FDA, IRS, everything. Get them all under control, get them off the backs of the people, and so do a review of everybody who's been attacked by the bureaucracies, by the EPA, this is very broad. But it's also very to the point. Get everything that the federal government is doing within the bounds of the Constitution, which would lessen tyranny and abuse from all sides. So I say a complete and total overhaul of every bureaucracy and do an analysis of everything the federal government is doing and analyze its constitutionality.
All right. The reason that I bring it up is Ann Coulter is saying, you know what, you got to build the wall, you got to build the wall, you got to build the wall. And others are saying, look, if you don't build the wall, everything that Donald Trump does today, as soon as enough illegals get in the country and have the ability to vote next time or whatever else, they'll just simply vote in their own and shut down everything that Donald did and reverse it all back the other way. And so we got to stop the illegal immigration.
There's other things to do besides building a wall that could provide security.
All you got to do first is just not have the amnesty or what do they call those, the whatever cities?
Sanctuary cities.
All you got to do is reject the sanctuary cities, quit funding them, and create an environment that says we're going to take care of business and follow the law that's on the books. Now, I'm not saying that a wall wouldn't be a good addition, but I am saying all you got to do is change that mood, that attitude, that behavior and expectation. That alone will make a significant difference.
Well, yeah, and then you offer no freebies to people who come here illegally. And so the lure of coming here is really lessened. But if he also gets Presidente Nieto to cooperate in providing their side, providing that people cannot get to the border, and that with the Border Patrol and with the federal government of Mexico, to also say no more. We're going to cooperate with America. We're going to work with America. And there's going to be no freebies for you there. There's going to be no jobs there for you. You're not going to get free school anymore. You're not going to get free health care when you get to America. And so that would, in and of itself, be a pretty good wall.
It would be a great start, and it would change the view. One of the things that Donald mentioned in his speech in Arizona that I want to refer to, I mentioned it last hour, too, was, you know, Donald said, I want to help make Mexico great again. What's wrong with Mexicans deciding that they have pride in their country and they want to appropriately learn how to do a fair trade and learn the proper role of government and rat out corruption in their own societies? And many of those people that are coming don't want to leave their countries. They just want a better life. And if they could have a better life in their country, they wouldn't have a desire to flee like a refugee, etc. So that's interesting. Now, my point that I said, the most important thing that Donald Trump could do, Sam Bushman, quote, Trump needs to make a pro-life stand as his top priority. We need to overturn Roe versus Wade and cut all funding to Planned Parenthood. If there's one thing we can do, we need to start with the pro-life message, which is to prevent the murder of the most innocent among us. And I think that it would bring people together. Oh, yeah, there'd be some wacko feminists that would go crazy and everything. But most people believe that pro-life is important. Most people believe abortion is wrong. Most people understand this reality. We need the Republicans will never have a better chance than now to stand for the pro-life message.
And if we're not like you said, right, Sam, you know, you even said, too, that he can show how much he loves women because, number one, the women that would be born, you know, the little babies there, they would be grow up to be ladies too.
And the women and that are abused by abortion won't have all this regret for their lives. I mean, one of the Roe versus Wade ladies, basically, I think it was Roe or whatever, changed her mind and said how horrible it was, and she wished that she didn't advocate for this and everything else. I think that the pro-life stand, if we're not going to protect life, if we're not going to reject the Thou Shalt Not Murder Ten Commandment, I mean, if we're not going to stand by that, I don't know what else we're going to do that would be the proper role of limited government, Sheriff.
Well, I really like that. I'm afraid. I think that it's not going to be the top of his list.
Well, you're right. In fact, in his first 100-day plan, it's not even mentioned once.
Yeah. I do like many of the things he says in his 100-day plan. My son and I were reading it.
I love it. The devil could be in the details, though. It all depends on who surrounds him and who helps him implement it, right?
That's true. And as I was saying in my email to you and Kathy Smith, that Sheriff Arpaio and Sheriff Clark look to be set in line to be in high places in Washington, D.C., and so you and I will have a voice there and a connection there. And I think as the federal government,
well, maybe he'll need you to serve on his staff, and you're headed to Washington, sir. Are you selling your house?
If they asked me to serve, I would go. And but I would hope, and this is what I would really like, is if they put me in charge of an office out here in the West where I could live in Arizona or Utah.
Yeah, I'd only agree to that if you moved to Utah.
Yeah. You and your Utah.
I mean, you Arizona people almost didn't even elect Donald Trump. You almost went for Hillary.
Oh, I know.
So you got to get the heck out of there while you can, my friend.
I was really getting embarrassed by that.
Heard that. Wow.
But no, I think, though, seriously, in view of what Trump is trying to do, and in his pursuit of the things that he has stood for, that this will have to come up. I mean, it will absolutely have to. But he's also surrounding himself next to people who are not really strong pro-life people.
Yeah, I mean, you got Newt Gingrich possibly getting a lead position. You got Giuliani and Christie. None of those three do I have confidence in.
No, well, those are the three I was thinking about when I said that. I don't believe any of them are staunch pro-life, and I know Giuliani is not. So, it you know, we're going to have to get some people in there, and I don't know where.
We should put Judge Napolitano on the Supreme Court, don't you think?
Yes, and you know whose name is also being considered is Mike Lee.
Or Ted Cruz.
Yeah, let's put Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, and, you know.
But the one I would like the most would be Judge Napolitano.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't think Judge Napolitano was very pro-Trump, and so I don't know if that's going to be a strike against him or not. But Judge Napolitano would be the best one.
Now they're thinking of Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she's asked to do something either. But of all of those, I think Newt Gingrich would probably be Secretary of State.
Yeah, and he'd be the worst one I can think of.
But that's what he's probably going to be.
I don't have a lot of confidence in Newt, folks. I really don't.
So I will tell you that Newt was extremely articulate and conservative-sounding while he was the surrogate for Trump this past
week. Well, if he would have got his Republican Revolution together and not melted down individually, destroying the whole effort, he could have got something real done then.
Yeah.
Shame on him. But if it happens again, shame on us.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I was kind of critical of Arizona because they almost sold us down the river. It was such a critical battleground state that it's like, wow. In fact, Hillary was hoping that she could somehow win Arizona, force 269 electoral votes for each of them, and claim she won the popular vote, and then overturn the election. Now that that's failed, thank heavens to Arizona coming to their senses, now Hillary's hoping that she can get the Electoral College to turn against the states and still vote for her, saying we need to support the popular vote. That's going to fail as well, but many people are trying to reject and jettison the Electoral College over this. I'm telling you, they're just dismantling checks and balances everywhere. Don't let them do it, folks. Anyway, I digress. Utah was being very I don't know what you say. Confusing. The mainstream press talked about this McMullen character and that he was going to, you know, upset, and then, you know, Utah's delegates would go for Hillary or go for McMullen, and Trump would lose them as well. And so everybody was very critical of the Mormons and of Utah. And they were running around saying the Mormon mafia this and the that. And it was goofy. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. There was no reality to it whatsoever. But the mainstream press had people all in such a deceived, deluded frenzy that it was beyond imagination. Look, McMullen had no chance in the state, folks, not even from the beginning. And the mainstream press knew it. But the Associated Press got behind this globalist named McMullen and perpetuated this lie to where people really, absolutely believed the lie. However, now that Utah is solidly, I mean by what, 20 points or more? For Donald Trump, and Arizona barely squeaked by with a 4-point victory, plenty to be solid, but not enough to make me comfortable. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has something to say about all this, Kurt.
Good point, Sam. Yeah, this is a statement from what's called the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and the headline reads, they congratulate U.S. President-elect
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. And this was the statement. We congratulate President-elect Donald Trump on his election as President of the United States. We invite Americans everywhere, whatever their political persuasion, to join us in praying for the President-elect, for his new administration, and for elected leaders across the nation and the world. Praying for those in public office is a long tradition among Latter-day Saints. The men and women who lead our nations and communities need our prayers as they govern in these difficult and turbulent times. We also commend Secretary Hillary Clinton and all those who engaged in the election process at a national or local level. Their participation in our democratic process, by its nature, demands much of those who offer themselves for public service. May our local and national leaders reflect the best in wisdom and judgment as they fulfill the great trust afforded to them by the American people. That's the end of the statement.
Sheriff, you want to respond to that?
Well, I think that's a very nice and Christian thing to do, and I do still have a question what the church's stand was on legalization of marijuana, and that they were actually
they basically said for medical purposes they understand and they think that there's some value there that should be researched and etc., but for recreational use they were against it, and they encouraged the church members to be against it on moral grounds. In general, I don't speak for the church, but that's from what I understood.
Well, I disobeyed that part. I voted to legalize marijuana. I voted for 205 in Arizona, as did some other members of the church that I know here locally. But it went down by about 4 or 5%. And I've actually been on campaigns to legalize marijuana, and it has nothing to do. And I don't want to get off into that because I know there's a lot of other more important things to talk about. But it's only a freedom issue and a free agency issue for me, and I think that we have to look very seriously at this thing about, first, the failure of the drug war, but also philosophically and even religiously. Do I, as an individual, have the right to tell my neighbor, you can't touch that plant, and if you do, I'm going to have you put in jail? I don't find that in harmony with Christian principles. I just don't. And I don't think we have that right. And so I am against, I agree with the church, I am against recreational use of marijuana, but I'm not for prohibition, and I'm not going to ever support prohibition.
Well, and that's one of the things that people need to understand. You know, they act like, you know, the Mormons are a cult or this and that. Look, the church gives their guidance on moral issues. Other than that, they stay out of politics.
Yeah, and they'll give some advice, and I think that's what this was, but I think,
and there are no repercussions for you choosing as you will, though.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm still a member in good standing, you know.
Your tithing's going up, though, Chairman.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, now, I just find that interesting. Now, you heard people are burning their shoes because they thought New Balance supported Donald Trump, right, Sheriff? No joke.
I hadn't heard that one yet.
Oh, these people are crazy. I kid you not. They're literally, they found out the New Balance supported the Donald. They freaked. They burned their shoes. Now they find out, well, New Balance wasn't really doing that.
Well, if that were the case, I would go buy a couple of pair today.
All right, let me know how your New Balance shoes go.
Yeah.
But New Balance did not endorse Trump. They were just kind of positive on, you know, some things about Trump.
Well, don't forget when Chick-fil-A came out on the homosexual issue and the LGBT said boycott Chick-fil-A. Well, that did the best business for Chick-fil-A in business history. And people were lined up, including yours truly, to support Chick-fil-A. And I still go to Chick-fil-A. In fact, my wife and I had some Chick-fil-A yesterday. And it's run by a real good Christian family, and we really love them. They do not open any of their stores on Sundays, even in malls where their stores are required to be open on Sunday. They don't do it. And I'm really proud of people like that, and it is also proved that the American people will get behind good causes. And so I hope that dovetails right back that or segues back into what you were saying about the abortion.
Amen to that, by the way. I know Sam and I even darkened their door, if you will.
Amen to that. We've done a whole lot more than just that. We've promoted them big time for good reason. Now, there's a couple of things that we need to mention that people need to understand. This is complicated. It's worth discussing. I mentioned that what they wanted to do was hopefully that the Donald would lose Wisconsin. Hillary would get back a couple of votes. Hillary could win a couple of the other three states. They could create 269 electoral college votes for either of them, or so close to where it was marginal. Then Hillary would basically claim that she won the popular vote, and then they would really use that manipulation to push the electoral college to vote for Hillary and create a tie, and then the tiebreaker would be the popular vote, and Hillary could still pull out a win. And what I find fascinating is this is just like the Republicans who demanded that Donald endorse the Republican nominee, and then they didn't. This is similar. Hillary going ballistic saying, I can't believe that Donald wouldn't accept the results. Donald said, well, I might not if there's vote fraud. We'll see. We'll you know, check that out. We'll have to. And what happened is Donald won fair and square, clearly, blatantly so. And now Hillary and crew are melting down. They're literally vandalizing property all over the country. They're canceling school. They're lighting buildings on fire. They're destroying cop cars. They're creating violence and harm to people.
Canceling school? That's kind of cool, though.
Oh, yeah. Literally a bunch of students just walked
family
out
time.
And canceled class. Yeah. Anyway, with all that going on, literally hundreds of thousands of Hillary supporters now have signed a petition to just flat out overturn the election results. It gets worse. The election could still result in a Trump-Clinton tie, says analyst. Kurt has details in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. As he left office in 1993, President George H.W. Bush issued pardons for several of his former Reagan administration associates who faced potential felony prosecutions for their actions in the Iran-Contra scandal. Among Bill Clinton's final presidential acts was a pardon for fugitive fraud artist and financier Mark Rich, whose wife had been a conduit for millions of dollars in donations to the Democratic Party and the Clinton Presidential Library. Will Barack Obama end his term with a pardon for Hillary Clinton? That is one possibility, along with enactment of so-called midnight regulations by presidential decree.
What we've seen in the past is when the outgoing president is replaced by somebody from the opposition party, then in the waning months of their presidency, there's a burst of regulatory and rulemaking activity, William G. Howell of the University of Chicago told the Washington Times. George W. Bush issued 11 lame duck executive orders. His father, George H. W. Bush, enacted 14, and Ronald Reagan signed 12. Bill Clinton wrote a total of 22, and Jimmy Carter signed 36 executive orders in the twilight of his presidency, about a third of which related to the Iranian hostage crisis. Despite his appetite for regulation and other forms of government intervention, Obama has been relatively restrained in the use of executive orders, at least thus far. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So I find it more than ironic that Hillary demanded that Donald accept the election results, and now Hillary and supporters are not doing that. They're rioting in the streets. Almost a million of them have signed a petition to overturn the elections. They're challenging the results at every turn, and now an analyst claims it could be a tie, Kurt.
Well, that's exactly right, Sam. Now, you know, this is a report from yesterday before Arizona gave their nod to Hillary. But, you know, I think that those numbers could still be messed around with, if you will, simply because, you know, the longer you draw things out, for example, you've got Oregon in the mix that has literally all of their votes are cast by mail. There's so much opportunity for vote fraud and vote box stuffing,
if you will. Yeah, one of these states
could
just come back and say, you know, we had projected, we thought that Donald won, but now that we get all the votes tallied, Donald didn't win. And we could overturn that whole state. So there's a lot up for grabs and a lot of manipulation going on here. But again, these people
that's
that right. claim that Donald had to accept the results now are using every tactic in the book to muddy the waters and confuse reality and eventually try to get the Electoral College, I don't know if you call them delegates or representatives, whatever you want to call them.
That's right.
To basically reject the states and just back the popular vote, in effect, defect.
Yep.
And so it's just amazing to watch.
Now, they even quote an AP analyst, Michael McDonald, I thought he was a musician, but anyway, who teaches political science at the University of Florida. And he runs what they call the United States Elections Project. Never heard of that before. They say it's an election statistics website. Says he's skeptical that Trump won Wisconsin, as the AP projected. He says if that state flips for Clinton and she wins the other toss-up states, she and Trump could be in a tie at 269 votes each. Now, I think, like I say, this was before they announced that Arizona was, in the Trump deal. They say that, I guess, Arizona, the difference down there was, 85,000, something like that. I think it was interesting. They said that they had 99.9% of the precincts reporting. So what? What, which one was that 0.1% that wasn't reporting? You know, I mean, I always
that
find
that
interesting.
That would have to be a really small precinct to be a 1/100th of a percent.
Yeah, very good point. Then they say in New Hampshire, they've got 100% of the precincts are reporting, and they say Clinton's got 47.5%, whereas Trump's got 47.3%. They say that's... the difference of 1,014 votes between the candidates. It's just interesting to see how tight it is. Michigan, for example, they say 47.6% of Michigan has voted for Trump, 47.3% for Clinton. That's with 100% of the counties, but they say they've got a differential of about, 13,000 votes. In 2012, Michigan reported 2,675 provisional ballots, but they're thinking maybe they'll have a whole bunch more provisional or votes for Clinton, I guess, and or she could overtake him there. But anyway, then
Trump haters are melting down so bad, Kurt. Trump haters are melting down so bad. Reports WorldNet Daily. They're now trashing, burning their own property.
Yeah, that's the
I mean,
shoe
what
thing,
is wrong? Right? No, it's more than shoes now, buddy.
More than shoes.
And some have even committed suicide.
Yeah. The IRS makes people commit suicide, and Hillary losing makes people commit suicide.
Yeah,
they say in Wisconsin, the AP called it for Trump, but this analyst, he says... he's skeptical about that, given that the vote differential there between the candidates is about 27,000.
Yeah, we want to recount.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not going to dare let you challenge the results, but we want to recount.
Anyway, and then they say, but Clinton conceded the race. Could she still become president? And This author, Jeffrey Rose, and he's president and CEO of the National Constitution Center, he says, a concession is not legally binding. He notes that Al Gore initially...
You had to know that was coming.
Yeah, he said that Al Gore initially conceded to George W. Bush in 2000, and then he retracted the concession and challenged the election results. McDonald says Trump... Yeah, has most likely won the election, but more work must be done behind the scenes. That's the best way they like it, behind the scenes.
Yeah, behind the scenes.
In those toss-up states, they're just making their lists and checking it twice.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Get all those dead voters and all those other guys in there.
Yeah, you can upset something. So expect this not to be over, folks. I'm telling you, the crooks will not give up that easy. Now, while they're working on overturning the elections and destroying their own property and such... Donald plans to defund Obamacare on day one. Sheriff, do you think he'll get it done?
It won't be day one, but...
No, his experts are saying on day one that's his plan.
Well, it would take some congressional action on that.
All he's got to say is, I, as the executor, demand the stop. We're not going to spend that money anymore.
Well, he can't control the money. Congress can.
But he can decide that he's not going to spend it.
Perhaps, but if he were to follow, which I disagree with, if he were to follow his predecessors and simply do it by executive decree, but I don't think he can because it was passed by Congress. And
well, let's be clear, though. There was a law passed by Congress.
Right.
That according to the court, created new taxes. But Congress said they didn't create new taxes, and so due to legal...
And it didn't. It wasn't initiated in the House, where a new tax must,
originate. Okay,
yeah.
And then when the court says it's the new tax, and Congress says, well, we didn't create a new tax, now there's a legal dilemma there, and the president could just simply say, I'm not going to spend a penny of this. I put all funding for Obamacare on hold until Congress resolves this immediately. And clarifies for the people and for the courts what's supposed to be happening here. The president could do that, and I would support that.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Because you have a legal crisis on your hands. Is it a new tax or not? The court says it is, but Congress says it's not. If Congress makes the laws and it's not a new tax, then somehow the court is confused.
Well, the court was quite idiotic on that one, actually, and I will specifically say it was Justice Roberts, who really surprised everybody with his nonsensical decision for the majority on that when he joined the other four liberals, and he was supposed to be the staunch constitutional conservative. He really did a lot of stretching to make it a tax, which the court cannot do. They cannot interpret a law to be a tax or make it a tax. The only thing the court can do is say, this looks like a tax, and if it is a tax, then it has to go back to Congress to make sure that it is. But he cannot make it a tax, and that's what he tried to do.
Correct. And what I'm saying is he has no authority to do that. And due to the confusion now as a result of that, I, as president, would simply stop funding and say, listen, Congress, you've got to go back to the drawing board. This should have been done before we enacted Obamacare on the court's confusion.
Correct.
You, as Congress, have created a vague law that has confused the justices. I'm halting all funding, and I demand you, Congress, create a law that's clear, that'll pass legal muster with the courts, that falls within your scope of authority. And then, you know what? Send it to me. It must originate in the House if you're going to spend money. By the way, little constitutional tip, folks. And if you get it right, I'll sign it. And he could do that in an instant, and I think it would be completely proper, Sheriff.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, I submitted it as constitutional obligation to do just that.
I would go for that. I think that would be the only way that it could happen quickly, like you say, the first day that he's in office. But, you know, I think it also would happen very quickly if it does go before Congress. They're all in favor of doing it. So, however, the problem with this is that they keep saying they're going to replace it. And what they would replace it with would take quite a bit of...
Well, and that's the problem why I want to do this, because what I don't want to do is get into a replacement discussion.
Right. I don't either.
And then we lose the whole upper hand, and it becomes confusion, and even our friends aren't getting along, and... We've got to abolish it, and then look, let's talk about it.
Yeah, leave it to the free markets, just as it was before. And one thing that they do need some reform on, and that is tort reform. And in case you're wondering what that is, that means get the lawyers out of the healthcare business to where doctors are not being charged so much for malpractice insurance, which is being passed on to the consumer. That's why prices have gone skyrocketing on healthcare. And some doctors have made a living ignoring all insurance and just charging a flat $35 fee for office visits or even $50. And no matter what you come in for, your cost will not be over $50. And doctors are going out on their own doing that, ignoring all insurances, ignoring all lawyers, and just say, this is the way it is. And you know, they tell their customers, this is it, or their patients, this is it, this is how it works. And sign on the dotted line.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen.
My sister began smoking because of friends. I don't think any less of her because she smokes, but it's been really hard because I know she could have done better if she hadn't chose to smoke. She's trying to quit actually right now, but it's a really hard process and she's down to a couple of cigarettes a day, so she's doing really good, but it's been a really hard thing in my family actually. It's caused a lot of problems. My sister smoking definitely hurt my parents. I'd come home sometimes, my mom would just be in tears.
Smoking hurts a lot of people, most of whom don't even smoke.
I definitely think my religion has played a role in me not smoking. I'm a Christian, and I believe I'm better because I don't smoke. Smoking hurts your friends, your family. It's not worth it in the long run. And you may not realize it now if you are smoking, but you will.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, Inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Trump, before the election, said, I do think a lot of the polls are purposely wrong. Boy, howdy, did he get that. Now they're running around wringing their hands, acting like, I don't know how we missed it. They know full well how they missed it. Folks, they're lying to you. All right, executive orders, pardons, and midnight regulations expected as Obama presidency draws to a close. Now, this is the biggest thing we got to worry about. Do you think that Barack is going to pardon Hillary and Donald won't be able to do anything about it? Or do you think Hillary's going to jail, Sheriff?
Well, she's not going to jail. And so if Obama thinks that that is at all a possibility, then that will happen. But they don't want to do that before all this election stuff is over because they don't want to cast any negative light on her if there still is a chance that the Electoral College might change and swing a little bit back towards her. But if you also look, there's two things. There's two very stark examples of why we need an Electoral College, and that is because basically if you take away Chicago, New York City, and Los Angeles, Trump wins in a major landslide. And that's why the Electoral College exists, because it represents the views of the states and views of the people by state. Instead of just saying, well, whoever gets the majority in a democracy, which we are not, And I still was tickled how all throughout this how many times people used the word democracy. Everybody at the top and was saying that to protect our democracy. Well, it's not one, and these people are very inaccurate in calling it such. But be that as it may, I think they have to be, Barack and Hillary have to be very careful on the timing of her pardon. And I was corrected last night by somebody who was talking about this potential pardon. They said you don't have to be convicted of something to receive a pardon, because the pardon comes out and says, and I said just the opposite. You can't pardon someone who is merely just under investigation. But actually, in the wording, it says what it covers that. It says anything they may have done or anything they may be charged with in the future, it's pardon. So, yeah, that's how Nixon was pardoned, because Nixon was not convicted of anything either, if you recall that historical fact, because he resigned before they impeached him. So he was not convicted of anything. And so I stand corrected on that, and so the pardon is very broad, very vague, but also very specific to anything and everything that they could have possibly done. I mean, so she could literally have committed murder, and she could not be found guilty of it if she gets that kind of a precedent.
That's the problem, Sheriff, and I understand that, but I think that there is a misuse of the founder's intent here. The pardon was just to say, look, politics is a dirty business. If things get a little bit messy, you know what? Give somebody a break. Give somebody a chance. It's kind of like one of the last rights of a fully informed jury to say sometimes the law doesn't make sense. It was never designed to literally allow corruption to go unchecked.
An example of that, Sam. This would be something that the president would be able to look over and say, you know, Dwight and Steve Hammond, who already served their time and paid their fines on a ridiculous charge in the first place, now sent back to prison. That would be the typical example and the epitome of what you're talking about, of the president saying the system has not worked, the system has been abusive, and those people are going to be pardoned.
All right, Chris from Utah wants to chime in. Go, Chris.
Yeah, guys, thanks for letting me on. Well, I wish I could be as celebratory as most people about Trump's victory, but they're going to turn this victory into a tragedy, not only for Trump, but for those who believe in the Constitution. Well, let me explain why.
Let me stop you before you explain why and say this. They're going to try to turn it into a tragedy. What we need to do is make sure that it's not a tragedy, Chris.
I'm going to do my best. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast for the man, and I'm going to support him as much as I can, as long as he follows the Constitution. But he's already indicating that he's not going to follow the Constitution, Sam.
Well, hold on. Let me just stop you and say it's a relative discussion, though. I mean, I'm for following the Constitution 1,000%. Don't misunderstand my point. However, he is already starting to follow the Constitution way more than anybody in the last 50 years.
Okay. Well, I hope it's enough. But I knew from the beginning when the media was giving him wall-to-wall coverage that they were not afraid of him. They knew that he was not a threat, so this might be a setup, and I hope it's not. And again, I'm going to pray for the man. But all they have to do, the Federal Reserve, you talked about one of the things that he could do to turn the corner on this country. I think you need to first rein in the money power, because they have all the money. And as you know, there are people who believe that you can buy anything in this world with money, including the minds and the hearts of the people of this country. And, you know, and of course, abortion is an important one, too. I would agree with you there, Sam. But unless and until he reigns in the Federal Reserve, he has no power monetarily. If he has moral power, which that's somewhat in doubt, and I hope he does, I hope he turns the corner on that, because there are some accusations against him. But if he doesn't have the moral power, then he's not going to be able to stand up against the powers of this world.
Well, you're right about the fact that honest money is one of the most important things. And again, my reason for bringing it up is not to say, hey, my answer's right, your answer's wrong. My goal is to really help us all bring the issues that should percolate to the top. And so I agree with you. Abolishing the Federal Reserve and going back to constitutional currency, I submit to you that you can never correct a country if you start out with dishonest money. In other words, thou shalt not steal. Is the thought. And so I don't think that one answer's right and one answer's wrong. I think that Richard's point that we got to go over all these government agencies and solve them. We got to have pro-life and honest money. We're just hoping to, with our discussion, generate solutions and let percolate to the top what matters most. So I agree with you.
Well, let me make one more comment. I know time is short. You know, I'm just a measly window washer. I don't have the highfalutin Ivy League school education that Trump does. I know that he's intelligent. I know he understands the monetary system. Why he's not addressing it face-to-face why he's not confronting it as he should, maybe it's because he's going to pull a surprise on them. Maybe he's just leaving them vulnerable until he decides exactly what he's going to do. But I got a feeling that they're going to win over if he doesn't stick strictly to the Constitution.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. In fact, some are saying even if Donald Trump is not bought off and controlled to this point, don't ever believe that can't change. They can eventually control him, and they may. Remember, Reagan got shot, and that helped him get along quite well. So your point's well taken. Thank you, sir.
You bet. He's got a lovely family. I would hate for something bad to happen to them.
Amen to that. See, he's right. That's the point. That's the way they play. Now, quick thing before the end of the hour. Donald Trump won the election by spending less per American than a sandwich. I kid you not. Republican presidential elect Donald Trump easily won against one of the most well-funded campaigns in U.S. history, undermining the conventional wisdom that it takes money, money, money to win the elections. Trump literally spent less than $5 per vote, Kurt. What do you think of that?
Well, it's a great point. And, you know, you've said all along, the new media has taken center stage. And even though, as Chris reported, the mainstream media built Trump up and in, I believe it was in hopes of saying, hey, he's the easiest candidate for Hillary to beat. But they underestimated him, I think. And so then after the coverage turned all against him, you know, you still had the new media taking center stage and the reports going in Trump's favor. I think that's one of the things that helped a lot.
I think you're right. And whether Trump's true blue or not, time will tell. But at least he's talking about the 10th Amendment. At least he's talking about draining the swamp. At least he's working on some of these things. And will we get all we hope for? I seriously doubt it. Look at who he's surrounding himself with. The likes of Chris Christie, Giuliani, Newt Gingrich. I mean, come on. How much are you going to get done with those guys in the way? On the other hand, I will say that he's doing more and talking about more, and he's already done more by dismantling the dishonest media, by dismantling the bogus press and the government insiders. He may just, you know, drain the swamp a little bit and then replace it with his own alligators. Time will tell. But it's a good start, and we got to at least give him credit. We got to hold his feet to the fire. We got to make sure that he does the right thing. But we got to have a little bit of hope somewhere. Hope in ourselves, and hope that we can hold him accountable as well. The last word's yours, Sheriff.
Well, one of our good constitutional sheriffs who just got elected told me, I compare him to Samson. Samson wasn't the best guy morally or the best guy spiritually, but he was called by the Lord to help save the people, and Samson did the best he could with what he had. And I really think that's a great analogy, and I think we all need to kind of look at it that way. And go back to what you were saying, Sam. Absolutely. Let's have hope. Let's get behind this guy. He's definitely going to be surrounding himself with some other good people, Palin, Arpaio, Clark. And so let's take advantage of this and try to steer the ship in the constitutional direction.
Happy Veterans Day, Sheriff.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, we're going to be going to Washington for the inauguration, and we're going to put together a Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association event as well. Details coming soon. Chris is right, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be very careful. We need to make sure we spend our time being eternally vigilant, not just hoping on stars for success. We've got to really be engaged, and we've really got to do our part, not just say, great, someone else got it done. We need to really do everything within our power, prayer to hard work. Do our best and trust in God for the rest. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today and get involved. We declare this nation shall endure.